ಸಂಸ್ಥಿತ ವೃತ್ತವೃಂದ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ.
So then Narada's questions unto Yudhishthira, so his instructions. Narada said, is the wealth thou art earning being spent on proper objects? Right? In other words, you have money, are using to buy proper things, right? It means whatever you get should be of use, should be useful, of a value, like that. Doth thy mind take pleasure in virtue? Right? It means are you happy to perform activities according to religion, or is it a pain for you? You know, you do it because you're supposed to, but is it a pain for you? Art thou enjoying the pleasures of life? So you have facility and all that. Are you taking advantage of that? You know, you're taking prasad with the devotees. Do you make it nice? Do you enjoy the atmosphere? Do you enjoy the association? Or, you know, you're just being very dry and thinking about something else, or not behaving properly, or, you know, how you say. Does that make sense? Like that. Doth thy mind sink under their, doth not thy mind sink under their weight? Means you have so many things to think about, so then are you becoming disturbed? Are you falling into the mode of ignorance because of being overburdened with so much, you know, responsibilities? O chief of men, continuest thou in the noble contact consistent with religion and wealth practiced by thy ancestors towards the three classes of subjects, namely good, indifferent, and bad? You know, so are you... So are you dealing like in the tradition, you know, with your religion and wealth, and dividing things as good, indifferent, and bad? You know, are you seeing, you know, what's useful, what's not useful, and what is neutral, right? Neutral, sometimes you work with it, sometimes you don't work with it. Good you always work with, bad you reject. Never injurest thou religion for the sake of wealth, nor or both religion and wealth for the sake of pleasure that easily seduces. Right? Should be probably never injuring. Okay. Means that you'll never do anything against religion for the sake of wealth and sense gratification. Right? At the same time as in other words, you never give up religion to get wealth, and you never give up religion and wealth for sense gratification. Right? Does that make sense? Because the senses have to be taken care of, right? Everything that you do is with your senses. So this idea, you know, one's not engaged in any sense gratification. No, that's all we do. Now, the question is are the senses connected to the Lord? Right? So that's how we do, is we connect it through religion. Right? And then from that religion to Krishna. Right? Or you can directly through Pancharatra or directly through the Bhagavat connect it. Right? Does that make sense? Right? So you always have to be careful. You may have to make a balance. Right? Like that. You always have to consider the three. Right? If you deal with one exclusion of the others, then it doesn't work very well. Right? So you always have to deal with all three of them together. O thou foremost of victorious men, ever devoted to the good of all, conversant as thou art with the timelessness of everything, followest thou religion, wealth, pleasure, and salvation, dividing dry time judiciously. Right, so he's making the point of he's victorious, he's ever devoted to the good of all. So that's what one should do. If you're victorious, then you work for the benefit. You capture another kingdom, then you set it up so everybody in the kingdom is taken care of. Right? You don't take over the next scheme to exploit it. You take over it to manage it properly. Right? In other words, the previous king wasn't managing properly. It's a threat to your citizens. So the stable balance in the whole society is not working right. So therefore, then you take over and then you make it. So you're always working for others' good, right? That's the king. You can say, oh, the king's on the top, he's just enjoying. No, king's on the top working for everyone else's benefit. He does like that, then it works very nicely. And are you dividing the time properly between religion, dharma, artha, kama, and moksha? Right. In other words, according to their status, then they must be dealt with. Right. So religion means you understand the nature of the soul and you're trying to go back to Godhead. Then with that, then religion and wealth and pleasure then are balanced against that. Does that make sense? Like that. O sinless one with the six attributes of kings, namely cleverness of speech, readiness in providing means, intelligence in dealing with the foe, memory, and acquaintance with morals and politics, dost thou attend to the seven means, namely sowing dissensions, chastisement, conciliation, gifts, incantations, medicine, and magic. Right. So in other words, is he dealing with all these different methods of how you're going to manage the kingdom? Right? So this is political correctness. This is the real political correctness. The other what they call political correctness, that's bogus. Right? It's part of this, but because it's separated from the connection with Krishna and the Shastras, it actually never politically works. It seems to work now, but then tomorrow it doesn't. You know? Does that make sense? You know, today you save, you know, 1 rupee, but then tomorrow you lose 100. That's the modern political correctness. Vedic is the whole thing works nicely through. Does that make sense? So you always have to be very, very careful of not getting caught up in the so-called, you know, whichever way the wind's blowing by the mass of people, that political correctness, because tomorrow the wind changes, and then you'll look very stupid. You know, or you have to become very expert and very comfortable at going back on your words and having your word meaning nothing, you as a person meaning nothing, just being, you know, just some politically correct, nicely situated in pranamoy piece of trash, you know, like that. So basically that's what it comes down to. Like that. Yeah. Okay, so now cleverness of speech. That means that according to who you're speaking to, you're speaking properly. Cleverness doesn't mean you're taking advantage. Cleverness means in normal politics, you would be clever in speech to take advantage of the other person. In the Vedic, cleverness in speech means you have something that needs to be done according to Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha that is proper for the well-being of an individual, a group of individuals, the nation, your own self going back to Godhead, right? Does that make sense? So balancing all that so that there will be benefit all around, then you are clever in your speech, that you speak in such a way that you get that. Does that make sense? So that's the difficulty, is politics. If we say political correctness sounds very good, if we drop off correctness and just say political, oh, that's very bad. What's the difference? Political correctness means politically it worked. Does that make sense? So it's semantics. You have to not be fooled by clever speech, right? That's what's going on here. So the point is politics are useful in that politics simply mean you speak to the other person what works to make the situation prosperous. Now, according to your definition of what's prosperity, then it changes, right? If your idea of prosperity is you're prosperous, doesn't matter what happens to anyone else, then you could say that's exploitive. So that's the kind of politics you want to avoid. But that means you're on the platform Anamoy, or just your group of people, Pranamoy. But when it comes to the level of religion, then it is actually what's proper for the relationship and what is connected to the overall long-term benefit. Then it takes on its natural good quality. Does that make sense? When it's used below that, it may sound nice, but it doesn't actually carry the correctness that it should. Right? So it's short-term, nearsighted, politically correct. But as far as having a vision, actually looking at the overall health of the society, it's completely bogus. Like that. And all you have to do is look around you. The more the political correctness is in vogue, the more the social fabric, you know, starts to disappear. You know, before we had nice, strong fabric, then we have mul-mul, you know, and now, it's just got holes in it. Maybe there's a thread here and there, you know, an individual, not a group, an individual, here and there. So that's not called fabric. Fabric means when you have a whole lot of individuals, it's all woven together. Does that make sense? So all you have to do is look at it and just see how it sounds nice, but you're being cheated. You're just being cheated. All this political correct, modern, this, that, well, what about? You're just being cheated by people who have their own motives, their own purposes, their own issues. So therefore, Narad Muni is very careful that Yudhishthir doesn't do that, right? Duryodhana does that, right? But he doesn't want, he wants to see that Yudhishthir does not do that. Does that make sense? So readiness in providing means means you're ready that now after the speech has been done, whatever needs to be provided, you are providing that facility, right? But the modern is what? You don't provide the facility. You just make the rules. You take the authority to make the rules, but you never provide anything.
Take tax.
Yeah, you take the tax, you don't give anything back. You know what I'm saying? That's the point. Your readiness and giving. Something is there, you have facility. Why do you have facility? Because people are happy to give the tax, happy to do all the different things. So you're prosperous, and as soon as there's an opportunity, you take care of it, you give, you make facility. Right? That's protection. Protection means providing the facility, you know, for performing activities and providing the right atmosphere in which people are comfortable to perform their activities. Does that make sense? Giving the facility for performance of duties and making people comfortable in that, right? So it'll be both physically and emotionally, intellectually, spiritually, you're providing and seeing that it all goes. Does that make sense? So this is kings, right? Not crowns and swords and, you know, how you say, just enjoying themselves and being, that's not kings. That's called dacoits, right? This is kings, right? Intelligence in dealing with the foe means you have to know how to intelligently deal. You just don't emotionally come in and crash, bang, or you will be destroyed. You have to be intelligent, right? Emotions are easy to defeat. Intelligence is not, right? If somebody deals with you emotionally, you give back an intelligent response, they don't know what to do. They absolutely don't know what to do. They can get more emotional to try to invoke emotion from you so they know what to do. If you don't do that, you're in control. Like that. Right? You'll see that's why, yeah. Okay. Okay. Memory, right? So he's going to remember. He knows who's who, what's what country does what's their dress, what's their customs, you know, what are their different names, who are their relatives, right? You know, all that thing. Who are all the people that work for them, you know, their family, everything like that. Like Srila Prabhupada, everybody he'd meet, he could remember their name. So whenever he'd see them later, years later, he'd remember their name. You know, it impresses people. People feel you're important to them. Like that. Acquaintance with morals and politics, right? So those two go together, is that you know what are the ethics that it's based on and then how do the political tools to apply it, right? Because the point is politics is to establish ethics, right? And ethics are in support of religion, right? That will make things prosperous, right? Dost thou attend to the seven means? Okay, sowing dissensions means if you have enemies, then they're as a group, then they can get you, right? Because but you sow dissension, then amongst themselves, they're not united. So how they'll fight you, right? Chastisement. You have to actually know how to chastise. You have to be able to use chastisement. You have to be uncomfortable with it, but it has to be appropriate. Means exactly what is wrong, that's what you get, right? Just like we see Nala Kuvera and Manigriva, right? So they're walking around naked in front of Narad Muni, right? And they're not sages. They're not like Parvati Muni walks around naked and nothing happens. And he doesn't get cursed. But these guys are just enjoying themselves and completely ignoring that Narad Muni's there. So, therefore, they're cursed to become trees, right? Trees are naked. Right, they're naked, so they can become trees. You want to walk around naked? No one complains that the tree has no clothes on. Right? In fact, if we put clothes on the trees, you might think it's strange. Right? like that. Does that make sense? And according to karma, if you like to walk around on the beach naked, then the next life, all those nice palm trees and down there, well, that's, you know, you got a spot. Okay? You know, like that. Does that make sense? Okay. So that's how it, you know, that's how it works. So we see as the chastisement is according to what's wrong. It's not according to your own opinion. That's why also the modern is a problem, because then the chastisement isn't actually in connection with actually what's wrong. It appears to be, but it's not actually. Does that make sense? Sure. Conciliation, then how to speak nicely, sweetly, that you actually please the other person and work out any differences, or, you know, work out a relationship or anything. In other words, a relationship, you can establish relationships, right? But that means by proper, not by, means in other words, it's the same as before. If you're doing it because this is the proper thing to do, people are very comfortable. If you're doing it simply because you want to get some profit out of it, then people will be uncomfortable. You understand? In other words, you have to have the intelligence to discriminate between the fine points. If you can't, you're not very intelligent. Right? Intelligence is being able to tell the difference between something, right? Or actually how they're common, right? Just being able to see that it's common. Oh, conciliation means I speak nicely, and so therefore that's also politics. That's cheating. I should just be honest, right? And then the honesty does what? How many relationships are destroyed, right? Think about it. The persons in the community are always honest, just say their mind to anybody at any time in any place. How many people are their friends? Think about it. And even if there are some that don't mind dealing with it, how many of them are close? How many of them are going to risk their life or their reputation for those persons? Think about it. You understand? So that's the point. That honest, so-called modern honesty does not work. It's supposed to be, oh, well, that's what makes everything work. No, it's just the opposite. It breaks down everything. Because you're supposed to be able to talk nicely. You don't know how to talk nicely, it won't work. Say what you like, but your truth is the truth of what? Not the truth of human beings. You know, it's just the truth of animals. You come by, they don't like it, they bark. That's all. It's that simple. It's animal truthfulness. Right, it's simply on anamoy or pranamoy, but it's not according to religion. If it was according to religion, they wouldn't be able to speak that way. Right, it has nothing to do with liberation, because what does it matter? I think you're, you know, a dweeb. You know, what is that? What does that got to do with liberation? What does it got to do with bhakti? So on the level of bhakti, on the level of liberation, on the level of religion, it doesn't fly. And those are the three highest of the five needs of a human being. On the level of artha, that also doesn't get you anywhere because you lose friends. So simply on the level of sense gratification, that you felt good, you know, saying it, and that's it. So if that's good enough for you, hey, go ahead. We got a whole community like that. Fit right in. Does that make sense? You know, but if you want to have real relationships, you want to go back to Godhead, that is a totally different discussion. Right? Because that's a discussion for human beings, not for animals. Right? Yes.
So as devotees, how do we present honesty?
How do you present honesty? It means, honesty means what is actually beneficial for the Krishna consciousness of yourself and the other person. Because honest, real, honest means what is truth. And truth is Krishna. So what is actually beneficial for furthering Krishna consciousness? That's truth. Anything else is a lie. Right? The point is when you join Krishna consciousness and take up the philosophy, then you have to learn the definitions. You know what I'm saying? Otherwise, that's the problem, is you keep your mundane definitions and then you try to apply it in Krishna conscious philosophy. And then there's a duality, and then devotees feel bad because it doesn't work. But what's not working is their attachment to their previous concepts. That's what doesn't work. The principle of it, that you want to be truthful, and that's very good. You know what I'm saying? That quality is good. So that's not at fault. Someone wants to be truthful, honest, open. Those are good. That's very good. But the method of doing it, that's what they have to learn. Because if they knew it so nicely before, why did they join Krishna consciousness? You tell me. Right? Who joins Krishna consciousness? There's only four kinds of people that join. Right? Artha, right? Means they're having a lot of problem emotionally, things aren't working, material world is hell, and you know, they want out. Right? Artarti. He, you know, it's just materially it's not working and all that, and they just want some protected, comfortable situation in which they can not go insane. Right? Jigyasu, they have knowledge, they want to know what's going on. And Gyani, he wants to know God. He knows he's a person, he wants to know about him. He wants to develop a relationship with him. You know what I'm saying? So where is the room for, you know, modern, Western, you know, politically correct, you know, honest, you know, social welfare person who only has a keyhole vision and only cares for the people that they care about and everybody else can go to hell? Where does that fit into Krishna consciousness? You know what I'm saying? So that's the problem. The devotees are so attached to that, they keep that. And they won't learn what's the real political correctness, what's the real welfare, what's the real all these things. So you have to redefine. If it's connected to Krishna, it's useful. It's not connected to Krishna. It doesn't matter how many fools say it's good. It's wrong. If you want to stay in the material world, it is fully right. But if you want to go back to Godhead, there's no chance you'll ever go back to Godhead with that mentality. You can't. Because Lord Chaitanya says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, you don't follow the etiquette, you don't go back to Godhead. Because Krishna's pastimes are based on Vaishnava etiquette. You don't want to follow it. You don't go back to Godhead because that's what you do there. Why would you dislike it here and then like it there? You're the same person. You know what I'm saying? If I take you out of here right now, boof, where you're just gone from here, stick you in the spiritual world, are you going to be comfortable? You know what I'm saying? Because you're going to go there with exactly the same mentality you have here. It's not a magic thing that a lightning bolt hits you and then suddenly you walk around with all kinds of ecstasy and stuff like that. You know? I mean, it sounds nice. That's the way all this, you know, modern storybooks and all the religious things work. But in reality, then, the reality is you have to like being with God and the devotee. You have to like being with devotees. You have to be considerate of devotees. Because those devotees are very dear to Krishna. And you're not considerate to them. Krishna is not going to be pleased. It's not all about you. It's all about Krishna and the devotees. So what has it got to do with you at all? That means the whole thing's sacrifice. The whole thing's austerity. The whole thing's charity. The whole thing's humility, tolerance, respect for others, not looking for anything yourself. Trying to connect everything to Krishna. So devotees will say that's their philosophy. When it comes to their life, it is not their life at all. In fact, they speak against that. You know what I'm saying? So then, how you go back to Godhead with that mentality? How do you go back to Godhead? You can't. So that's the whole thing. The social fabric, it doesn't exist. It's not a fabric. It's not even social. It's individuals for their own purposes, their own personal purposes, say all these things. They may not agree, but we can point it out if you want to be specific. You want to get into detail, bring it up, we'll point it right out. They have their own purposes. And their purposes, they may themselves not even be aware of. So that's the whole idea. Krishna consciousness means to become conscious. So they themselves are not aware of their own issues and their own anarthas and all these things. Right? Somebody, their marriage is falling apart, they're having a miserable relationship, then if somebody else is happy, oh no, they can't tolerate that. Oh, it's nonsense, it's Maya. Right? And then you get a committee of that together. Right? Like that. You look at that. You look at that. Right? You have a Grihastha council. Who should be on it? Properly functioning Grihasthas. Right? Who know what Grihastha life is, who are comfortable with it. who can guide others, or people who have been successful grihasthas and now they're retired and now they're willing to share that realization and knowledge with you, you know, in their maturity. Does that make sense? So then, what's a management council? People who can manage. Right? What's a brahminical council? People who are Brahmins. You know what I'm saying? Not just who's senior, who thinks they're senior, who thinks this, who thinks that. I'm older, I'm a Prabhupada this, I'm a, you know, I've been around longer, you know, my nose is bigger, my, you know, whatever it is, you know. What has it got to do with that? This is reality. This is truth. But this is a truth no one wants to listen to. Right? That's the point. Just because you want to be there, so what? That's your mind. What according to religion, should you be there or not? Oh, I want to be there. So what? Everybody wants to be there. You know what I'm saying? So? Everybody wants the whole maha plate for themselves. So now what do? Each one profiles and proves how they're the one that should get it exclusively and nobody else. You know, oh, I feel bad today. Yeah, but I felt bad since yesterday. So I've 2 days feeling bad. Yeah, well, my, you know, pet hamster just died. So therefore, I should get all the maha like that. No, but, you know, my visa runs out and I got to leave. So for the next week until I leave, I should get all the maha. And, you know, it goes on and on and on. So what's the actual solution? Right? Everybody, you have the plate there, everyone comes, they get a little bit. Then everybody gets some maha, hari ball, it works. Does that make sense? Right? So that's the point, is that real means real. Real doesn't mean what people think. Because thinking is the mind. Unless the mind's based on intelligence, it doesn't have any substance. So therefore, truth is simply based on my feeling is not enough. It must be considered. My feeling in it must be considered. Your feeling must be considered. Everybody's feeling, that must be there. So therefore, then you work out something that works like that. But who sets the rules? God sets the rules. If anyone claims that the rules that should be followed are not set by God, then what does that make them? Right? According to standard dictionary definition, what is somebody who does not agree with the laws of God? What do you call them?
Atheists.
Right? Demons. Something like this. You know what I'm saying? But you say that, oh, that's so harsh, oh, that's not this. And what's the response? It's an emotional response. Where is the intelligence? I'd like to see it. Oh, you're fanatic. Another emotional response. Where's the intelligence? Say something. Oh, you don't understand. Another one. Where's the intelligence? Because it's not there. It doesn't exist. Why? Because they don't cultivate it. It's that simple. That's truth. This truth, nobody wants to hear. You know. Now, you know, the modern has its benefits because you can speak like this and you don't lose your head. Like that. Previous times you could lose your head. Like that. Very common. You know what I'm saying? But the point is you want to speak truth. Truth means what is actual reality. No question? Or you just okay. Does that make sense? Like that. So the point is all that has to be considered. The motive behind it may be good, but you have to see the qualification and how do you decide? How do you decide what's the strength of a chastisement? What's the strength of weaknesses? Because generally what you see is something very minimal is made into something very great. Right? And something very important, right? Chaitanya Charitamrita, someone once just told me that 1/3 of Chaitanya Charitamrita is taking prasad. Right? Think about it. A major part is taking prasad, isn't it? right? And in there, it's not just said they ate some food, right? It goes to immense detail to explain what was cooked. And it even goes to detail to explain how it was served and who served it, right? Did it start off, you know, Lord Chaitanya, after Haridas Thakur left and they're serving the prasad, then Lord Chaitanya said, okay, all the new bhaktas out there, serve the prasad, all the senior men, sit right down. Did he say that? No, he himself started serving. Problem was, is because he eats enough for five people, he was giving everyone enough for five people, so Subh Damodar told him to sit down, you know, like that. We'll take care of it. Okay? You know, when Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda are there at the Dvaitacharya's house, who served? The servants? Advaitacharya. Who's Advaitacharya? He's God, so he doesn't have any problem serving. Okay. Like that. Does that make sense, Dan? You know, we sing every day by Jabhakatavatsa. Bosi, sari, sari. They all sat in lines. Or did it mean sari, sari? They were sitting on their mom's saris, on their laps, right? Like that. So it meant they were sitting in lines. When they came afterwards, they washed their hands, mouth, and feet. They did all... How much trouble is taken by our acharyas to explain that, right? Out of human relationships, right, there's three categories. Gifts, food, and, you know, revealing your mind. Three categories. There's not a fourth. So that means one third is all in that, okay? Does that make some sense? Okay, so then you're going to change things, and now you're going to serve prasad buffet style to all the devotees who come to Mayapur, the international center, the place of Lord Chaitanya's culture. Right? And why? Because the devotees that would normally do it, you know, they've been out, you know, working hard, and now it's time for a vacation, right? Right when you have guests, then you take your vacation. Right? What they serve is inedible. How they serve it is inhuman. Right? And then we're going to fight over, you know, something like, you know, now that council is going to discuss on whether, you know, people can eat potato chips or not. You know what I'm saying? So this just proves they don't know what they're talking about. They have no standards. They can say, well, Prabhupada said, yeah, but Prabhupada, what did he do about establishing prasad? So get that one correct. Then maybe people won't eat the chips because the other stuff is there. The environment is so terrible and the prasad is so terrible. Must say something when devotees would rather eat karmi food because at least has a little flavor than eat the devotee prasad because it stinks. Right? That's what I mean. They have no idea of what is the actual standard, what is culture, anything like that. Came up, slapped them in the face, they wouldn't even know what happened. You know what I'm saying? They absolutely wouldn't know. You could take these people and say, serve prasad or I'm going to blow your head off and you better do it right. You'd have a lot, you'd have everybody would be dead. You know what I'm saying? I'm not joking. Like that. It means on this point, you can take my word for it. They do not know how to serve prasad. They may claim they do, but they absolutely do not know. According to our standards, according to our tradition, they have no idea. And if they say they do, it's simply false ego. Because if they do, then that's even worse, right? An impersonalist, he merges into Brahman, that's bad, right? The soul destroys himself, that's bad. But a yogi who knows that God is a person and then merges into him is worse. So if they claim they know and the prasad service is so bad, then that's worse than a person who doesn't even know. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point. These things are to be taken seriously. That's why they're written in the scriptures. Why use Purana? Why are we studying from Purana instead of from Upanishads? Right? Other ages, this is given to Upanishads. Right? The philosophy, but why are we learning it here? Because then we see the philosophy and culture go together. Human being means philosophy and culture. If you only have philosophy, you're not human being. If you only have culture, then you have the human sentiment, but you don't know where you're going as a human, so you never actually attain the human platform. But it's a better platform, in one sense, because at least culturally it works, but philosophically it doesn't. The other one, philosophically it works, but culturally it's bad. And devotees are frustrated right now, today, because of culture, not because of philosophy. There's no devotees leaving this movement because of philosophy. They're leaving because of culture. And they refuse to accept the culture that will get them somewhere, as we started in the beginning. They're joining because they were out there in the material world. It was hell. Then they join the movement and want to bring hell with them, instead of rejecting it and taking up human life. Human life begins with Varnashram. If you're not following Varnashram, you're not human. It's just that simple. Right? Oh, but we're devotees. But that doesn't mean that you're human. Hanuman is a monkey. Right? Garuda is a bird. They're devotees. Right? That dog, what's the Shivananda Sen's dog, went back to Godhead. He's a dog. Right? So, going back to Godhead, you know, that's one thing. But human life is another thing. Humans are supposed to go back to Godhead. So if you're not human because of lack of etiquette, you won't go back to Godhead. Right? Hanuman and Garuda, they follow the etiquette, though they're animals. So you just can't get around following the culture. It doesn't mean the form of the culture has to look exactly like the tradition. You have to adjust it for time, place, and circumstance. But the principles of it have to be in place. They're not in place, you do not have culture. Because God made culture, and you're not following that, you're not culture. You're not culture. Can you tell me you're cultured? You're sitting there in your nice tuxedo, you're sitting there at the nice table, you know, mahogany table, and all done nicely like that, in your nice chair, and you have all your silverware and everything, all, you know, your 5 spoons and 10 forks and, you know, all your knives and different cups and this and that, and add it, you know, and in all those cups is all alcoholic beverages, and on your plates there and all your spoons and forks is all non-vegetarian things, all very sophisticated, everyone's speaking very nicely, you know, it goes man, woman, man, woman, man, woman, and then opposite table wherever the man was, that's an alt woman. Very well set up, you know, the servers come and they give you stuff from the right side, they take it away from the left side, they do all the things right, you know. So, is that human? Sophisticated, but is it human?
That's what they're serving, I guess.
I just explained what they were serving. So, that's the culture that's being drawn upon. All we're doing is taking the meat off and putting something else there. You know what I'm saying? That's it. And then now it's perfect. And now we have to adjust all our traditions for that. And you wouldn't even mind if they even served nicely like that and kept the atmosphere like that. But they can't even do that. Even they claim to be Western and, you know, Yukta Vairagya. I have yet to see anybody even do that properly. Right? It is rare to go anywhere around the world and sit down, and if you know what the tradition is of prasad, and be satisfied. I've hardly ever seen it. An individual here and there. But it's individuals, not a society. Right? And then people wonder why devotees go elsewhere. And then they're wrong, right? But what does it say here? Readiness in providing means. Who is providing means? Where is the means? What's being provided? The council makes a decision. What means are they providing to follow that? Right? Anyone divorces, you're out of here for 2 years. Okay, great. But now, along with that, then are they saying, therefore, everyone who wants to get married has to take a particular training period to make sure they're qualified to be married? Ever heard that? Anywhere? Any zone? By anyone? Never. Therefore, it's authority without responsibility, which is cheating. Right? So, therefore, Narad Muni wants to make sure that Yudhishthir isn't one of those cheating authorities, like so many other kings, right? Why this time and place? Why this time? Krishna is here to kill off millions of kings who are cheating. You understand? How serious is this? They don't follow, so Krishna's come to wipe them all out. Right? We're not talking about the form. Right? That's the other thing. Oh, well, you just say, you know, we can't, supposed to do like that. You, nobody can do that. We're not talking that. Open your ears. Use your brain. God gave you a brain. Right? Materialists know how to use, I think they say 10%, you know, like that, but in reality it's 6 to 7%. I think Einstein used 7% of his brain. You know, and they thought he was pretty good. So what about the rest of it? Why'd God give it? To understand God consciousness, the subtleties, the metaphysics, the culture. Stuff that you'll never learn in a million years anywhere else but from Vaishnavas. Right? In other words, we don't have faith that unless you're a devotee, you don't have any good qualities. Because ultimately, the quality behind it is what? You know what I'm saying? Good quality means you can go back to Godhead. A cow is very gentle, peaceful, takes care of their calves very nicely. Is it going back to Godhead? Right? So that's the point. One has to know what is the standard, how to judge it. Then it works very nicely. If you don't know that, it won't work. And the standard is able to accommodate every living entity according to their individual needs. That's what Varnashram is for. It's not a political system, it's not an economic system as devotees try to use it. That's why it fails. It's used for controlling or enjoying. But it's not. It's for creating facility to generate relationships so people can be comfortable and go back to Godhead. That's what it's for. Ever heard anyone talk about Varnashram like that? No. So that's why it's always failed. And because people don't understand and it fails, now Varnashram is to blame? You understand? So we're not using intelligence here. So the whole point is be intelligent. You know, that's what he's trying to establish here. Okay, then, chastise, conciliation. Gifts means accordingly, appropriately, who should get what, that should be given. Right, either as charity or in friendship, or even just as, you know, something, those who are more materialistic and only work for something, they do a valuable thing they're taking care of. Like that. Incantations and your mantras, you know, you get so much power and everything from mantras and everything like that, you know, from your sadhana and everything like that. Medicines, then one is your own health, but also then medicines in dealing with others like that. Magic, you deal with others according to those kind of things. So these for devotees aren't so important. These other ones then will be used more like that. We generally just depend more on Krishna for that. Examinest thou also after a survey of thy own strength and weakness, the 14 possessions of thy foes. These are the country, forts, cars, and elephants, cavalry, foot soldiers, and the principal officers, officials of state, the zinana, the part of the house in which women and girls live. Okay, food supply, that must be a Muslim name. Food supply, computations of the army and income, the religious treatises in force, the accounts of state, the revenue, wine shops, and other secret enemies. Okay, so it means other secret enemies means you have all the, means this main things that are against the alcohol, the gambling, adulterers, how do you say? Well, actually, no, those go into the main things. The ones that really destroy the gambling and the alcohol. Like that. And thieves. Gambling, alcohol, and thieves. These are the main, like that. people who, as a practice, are adulterers, they have to be gotten rid of. You know, like that. And dacoits, right? It means you have thieves, you have robbers, right? It means a thief means they come and steal something, but they don't do anything to you. Robber means with physical force, then they steal things. Like that. Adulterers are those who don't mind going around and ruining anybody. You know what I'm saying? They take other people's lives cheaply. They feel like it, they get involved. When they're not feel like it, they don't get involved. You know what I'm saying? So they just take people on, drop them, you know, as they please. They don't actually understand how they destroy lives. Like that. So those people have to be removed. Right? You know what I'm saying? Thief, you can't function. Those other things, you can't function. Right? You know? Like that. Gamblers, then they're always losing money, ruining people's lives. Like that, because somebody has money, he thinks he can get more, he's stupid, he loses money, now he can't even take care, he's in debt, so many different things. Right, in the wine shops, then there's always all bad elements are around, you know, intoxication and all that. Right, so it says that king where these five are not present, that kingdom is like, you know, heaven. Right, and where these are present, then it's a problem. Does that make sense? Right. So when the government establishes gambling and casinos and wine and, you know, takes it all, that's where they get their most revenue from in taxes, then you know it's going to be a problem. Right? So he's saying you have to be careful of all these so that they're all, you should know what the other person has, because then if you know he has a lot of that, he's weak. He doesn't have, he'll be a very strong king. So you have to know these things. Not just his army, you have to also know what's happening in his wine shops. Does that make sense? Like that. Attendest thou to the eight occupations of agriculture, trade, etc. Having examined, O thou foremost of victorious monarchs, thy own and thy enemy's means, and having made peace with thy enemies. You know, so has he examined all this? Has he made peace? Is he seeing that all the varnas and ashrams, everything's functioning properly? Right? All that's going on, he's made peace, then his kingdom will run very nicely. O bull of the Bharata race, thy seven principal officers of state, namely the governor of the fortress, the commander of the forces, the chief judge, the general in interior command, the chief priest, the chief physician, and the chief astrologer, have not, I hope, succumbed to the influence of thy foes, nor have they, I hope, become idle in the consequence of the wealth they have earned. Right? In other words, being the head, that they haven't become lazy and they're not doing their duties and taking care and being, you know, very careful, or they've fallen under the influence of the enemy, so therefore they're going to work against you, right? So all these people are the ones that are going to have most influence on you. Okay? So time's up. We'll end here for today.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi. Amen.